Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, saints of God, and welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. Today is Tuesday, April 5th. We have just started the series, God's Prophetic Declaration, which comes to us by means of Ezekiel 34:11. And it reads, "For thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out." Dear God, we praise you today. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for the Savior. We thank you for our Redeemer. We thank you for the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And we also thank you for the shepherd of the church, Jesus, the good shepherd, who lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus, the great shepherd, who is above all other shepherds. And Jesus, the chief shepherd, who when he returns will give to every shepherd his due reward. Father, we praise you and we thank you for this lesson today. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you will lead us and guide us to all truth. We're dependent on you, Holy Spirit, 100%, for you to lead us and guide us to what God would have us to know and to what God would have us to apply to our lives. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You're probably wondering why I'm playing Christmas music. Well, I love Christmas music, and I listen to it all throughout the year. It just reminds me of Christ. It reminds me why I'm a preacher of the gospel. I am to preach Christ and him crucified. And so I love Christmas music any time of the year. So, my brothers and sisters, we started yesterday with the introduction to Ezekiel 34. Let's read Ezekiel 34, verses 1 through 7. Let's quickly read that. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel." Notice, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The diseased sheep you have not strengthened, neither have you healed them that were sick, neither have you bound up those which had broken bones, neither have you brought again those which were driven away, neither have you sought out those which were lost, but with force and with cruelty you have ruled them. And they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field. When they were scattered, my sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth. None did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Yesterday, we were talking about how God has brought indictment and verdicts and commands of removal concerning the wicked shepherds of Israel. We looked yesterday at the introduction, and there were three key words that we wanted to consider, considering the whole chapter, the theme of Ezekiel 34, which is God's indictment, God's verdict, and God's decision to remove all of the self-centered, self-serving shepherds who abuse the flock, scattered the flock, and in so abusing and scattering, they diminished the flock. In this chapter, we see God declaring an indictment. What's an indictment? It's a formal charge or accusation of a crime. And unlike us, when we indict people in our society, people go to trial. But when God indicts, there's really no trial. Why? Because God does not indict and then, does not render a verdict of guilty. Anytime God indicts, remember, God is all-knowing. He has all the facts. God has already thoroughly investigated the person he's indicting. So when he indicts, there soon follows a verdict of condemnation and the punishment of removal. So what is a verdict? A verdict is a formal decision made by a jury in a court of law as to whether a person is innocent or guilty of an offense. So indictment is a formal charge. A verdict is a formal decision. And then, of course, the removal that we're emphasizing here in this chapter is dismissing someone of a job they hold. In other words, God is the internal affair agency. God is over every pastor. And when pastors fail the flock, God launches what we call his investigation. And then based on his findings, he indicts, he renders a verdict, and then he shows pastors the door. And trust me, I've seen God. There have been some pastors that I've known who said, no one's getting me out of here. And they've been in the wrong. No one is kicking me out of this church. And lo and behold, 2 weeks later, they were gone. Why? Because God kicked them out. God removed them. You know, like you remove garbage, how you grab the garbage bag and you put it on the curb. That's what God does.
Now,
of course, they scream, they shout, they protest. They said, you all are against me. And you've probably seen this before where they claim that the accusations made against them are all false and that we are tools of the devil. The devil is using us to bring these false accusations. But at the end of the day, they're wrong. They won't admit it. And God shows them the door. Now, we're only talking about this because there's a silver lining in all this. You see, the silver lining is God wants us to know that he's in charge. Things may seem like they're getting out of hand. It may seem that people are getting away with criminal acts. such as what? Abusing the flock. Not feeding the flock, scattering the flock, diminishing the flock, bringing a flock down to almost near nothing, where the church almost becomes extinct. And so, again, God wants us to know that he notices all things, and in his divine timing, he will do what? He will indict, he will render the verdict, and he will remove that which needs to be removed. So, who is this God? Who is this God that's able to do this? Well, the text tells us, for thus saith the Lord Adonai, the Lord God. For thus saith the Lord God. Let's look at Tuesday, April 5th. Let's look at the bullet points that we have there. Now, in brackets, I put the corresponding Hebrew words to the English word. For thus saith the Lord, and there the word Lord, capital L, lowercase o, lowercase r, lowercase d, is Adonai. And God here is not Elohim, but God here is Jehovah. Jehovah. Okay, so thus saith the Lord God, or thus saith Adonai Jehovah. Now, underneath that first bullet point, you'll notice that the word Lord, or the proper noun Lord, is all in caps, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. When you read it all in caps in your Bible, the translators left it like that on purpose to let you and I know that the word there in Hebrew would be Yahweh. Yahweh. And we've talked extensively as to what does Yahweh mean. Yahweh is the closer. Remember, we talked about the name of the Lord, or the name of Yahweh is a strong tower. The righteous run to him and are saved. God knows. The Lord, or Yahweh, means the closer, the one who's going to finish the task. That's the name of God. Whenever God appears in a text as Yahweh, you know that he's going to bring the project to fruition. He's going to see it to completion. He's going to see it fulfilled as he has declared it. So that's not the word here. The word here is capital L, lowercase O-R-D, and this word is Adonai. The best way to tell you what Adonai means is it means the boss. So, thus saith the boss, God. In other words, listen, saints, I've been in this thing of ministry 40 years, and I've seen abuses in the pulpit. I've seen abuses in ministry. When I first started out, I started out as an associate pastor. In 1985, I was hired by a church in Brooklyn to be its minister of education. Having graduated, I graduated that May with a bachelor's degree in sacred literature. And in September, I already had a job. I was, in fact, the person that had told me, the pastor said to me, when you graduate, call me immediately, and I'll have a job for you. And that's what happened. So I graduated in May. I told the pastor I was graduating in May. And come September, I was serving in his church as an associate pastor, and my official title was Minister of Education. And so, and since then, I've been in the ministry, and I've seen, and I've worked under all kinds of pastors, with pastors. I've seen other pastors, and all kinds of crazy things have gone on in the church. And they all spring from the pastor and the pastoral theology that that pastor is working out in his ministry. You know, pastoral theology is everything you know about pastoring in your head. But then you take what's in your head and you work it out in daily life, in daily service. And so a lot of guys have a lot of pastoral theology in their head, but what comes out in their daily life is a bunch of nonsense. It's a bunch of self-centeredness, self-serving ministry. And so I've seen it all. I've seen all kinds of things. It grieves me, even till this day, to know that so many people that I worked with and so many people that I went to school with and so many people that I know in ministry have basically wrecked their lives only because they failed to understand that they were serving as under-shepherds. And they are not the chief shepherd, and they are not the great shepherd, and they are not the good shepherd, even though they strut around thinking that they're all that and that they're something special. And no, Jesus is something special, and we are his servants. So the indictment, if you will, the verdict and the removal comes from the boss of the church. And there's only one boss. And pastors and members better get that straight. There's only one boss. And he's got his eyes on everyone. He's got his eyes on the pastor. He's got his eyes on the leaders. He's got his eyes on deacons, on trustees. He's got his eyes on members. He's watching the whole thing. And this is why in the book of Revelation, we're given that illustration or that picture when Jesus is in the midst of the seven churches, Jesus being the good shepherd, Jesus being the great shepherd, Jesus being the chief shepherd, and he's in the midst of the seven churches, and he knows everything that's going on, and what he likes, he approves of, he gives commendations to, and what he dislikes, he says to the angel of the church, I don't like this, and you need to correct this thing. You see, so Jesus is in the midst, and he's constantly talking, and he's constantly giving the thumbs up or the thumbs down to things he sees. And so here in this Old Testament text, it comes across this way, thus saith the Lord, or thus saith Adonai Jehovah. Now, Jehovah is the name used of God when it emphasizes that he's a covenant God. In other words, we are under contract with him. You know how you have your car. You have car insurance. Your car is under contract with a certain insurance company. You may buy appliances, and you may put a warranty on those appliances when you buy them, which means that now your appliance has an insurance or a contract on it so that if it falls apart or if it needs parts or if it needs repairs, the people that you purchased the warranty from will come in and fix. And so basically, God is letting us know he's the boss and he's the one who has covenanted with us to make sure that everything runs smoothly. And this is why we need to take notice when God speaks, because there's no higher authority in the church than God. The moment the pastor thinks that he's the highest authority, it's time to show that person the door, my brothers and sisters, because their mind is warped. Their mind has run amok. Their mind is off the rails. When they start banging on the desk and say, you listen to me. The Lord put me here. The buck stops with me. No, sir, the buck does not stop with you. The buck always stops with God. We are simply his servants. And listen, this is what a pastor needs to do. Turn with me to Ezekiel 34:4. This is what God says. He says, I'm upset with you because the diseased sheep you have not strengthened. So what do pastors need to do? Strengthen. Neither have you healed those which were sick. What do pastors need to do? Heal. Again, this is all spiritual language. The spiritually diseased, we need to strengthen. The spiritually sick, we need to heal. Neither have you bound up that which was broken. People are spiritually broken. Neither have you brought again those which were driven away. Neither have you sought after those which were lost. But by force and by cruelty, you have ruled them. We're not called to rule anybody. We're not called to rule anybody. We're here to guide people. Guide them with a loving, tender hand. Not an abusive hand. Absolutely not. So we don't abuse the flock, and we do not neglect the flock. And so this is God's indictment. And so who's speaking here? Is it some member of the church who has noticed these things and is bringing it up at a annual church meeting? No. It is the Lord, or Adonai Jehovah. Now let's look at the word Adonai. Adonai, according to the Hebrew lexicon, Adonai is a masculine noun used exclusively of God. Now, if you have a highlighter, please highlight that. If you have a means of underscoring that, because whenever, listen, saints, and this is why biblical education is so important. Whenever somebody starts banging on the table, listen, and I've seen this. I was an associate pastor of many a churches where I saw the man who hired me to be part of his staff. I would see him bang on the table and tell people he's the boss. No, because this noun, this term Adonai, can only be used of God. Only of whom? Of God. When somebody starts banging on the table, like I said, they're off their rocker. Listen, they're off the rails. This person needs counseling. This person is delusional. Why? Because he's usurping God's authority. No, Adonai, a masculine noun used exclusively of God. An emphatic form of the word Adon, this word literally means my Lord. It is often used in the place of the divine name Yahweh, which was held by latter Jewish belief to be too holy to utter. This designation points to the supreme authority or power of God. Please highlight that. Please. And listen, pastors wouldn't get into so much trouble if the position and the office wouldn't go to their heads. They wouldn't get into so much trouble. So, let's conclude today's teaching by going to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And look what it says. 1 Peter 5. Verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort. Now, an elder is synonymous, that term elder, presbyteros, is synonymous with the term pastor and is synonymous with the term bishop. All three are interchangeable. All three titles speak of the same person, elder, pastor, bishop. They speak of three different functions, but it speaks of the same individual. The elders which are among you, I exhort, reminding you that I also am an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Look at verse 2. Peter admonishes these pastors, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Notice, he doesn't say taking authority. No. No, not taking authority, but taking what? The oversight, or taking the care. That's what the word oversight means. Now God has brought you in to be a what? A caregiver. You're to feed the flock, and you're to be a caregiver to the flock, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre's sake, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords. You see that word lord? Listen, that's the Greek equivalent. This is New Testament. That's the Greek equivalent to what Adonai would be. He says no one in the church is an Adonai. No pastor in the church is an Adonai. Why? Because that title exclusively belongs to God. It is God who does what? Renders indictments. It is God who renders verdicts. And it is God who takes pastors by the nape of the neck and shows them the door if they need to be kicked out of office. So again, for thus saith the Lord God. It's important for us to know who the boss is. And the boss is never the pastor. The boss is never a team of pastors. The boss is one, and that's God. And we pastors serve God in ministry with fear and trembling. We are to take our office seriously. And everything we do and everything we say must have his seal and stamp of approval on it, or we're going to get in trouble. And this is why this job of pastoring is a serious job, because it has serious consequences. It determines eternal destinies. And this is why God doesn't fool around with this position. Why? Because God's concerned about sheep. He's concerned about their eternal well-being. And God would have us shepherds care for these people and make sure that they're well taken care of. So in this chapter, God doesn't like the way pastors have been taking care of the flock, and he shows up and he knocks on the door of the church and he introduces himself as the boss of the church. And when he introduces himself as boss, all eyebrows are raised, because God's coming to clean house. We'll end it there. We'll leave it there. Father, we thank you today for this wonderful lesson. It gets us focused. It gets us to understand the way things are truly aligned. It does not allow us to get a big head. And if we have an inflated head, this text puts a pin in it and causes all the air to come out. We are simply stewards of the mysteries of God, lowly like Jesus, lowly and meek, like our master who went before us. So, Lord, help us. Help your church. Bless us, Lord, we pray. Saints, don't forget tonight, we have prayer, 7 o'clock. I'm so looking forward to it. I'm on my way now to meet Pastor Harry at the church. We're going to meet together for prayer. We're expecting big things from the Lord. Oh, my brothers and sisters, we are humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God in hopes that the revival of souls, the saving of souls, the regathering of his sheep will soon begin. God bless you.